Hello, folks. How are you doing today? So my guest today is Jeff Bradbury. He is an educational influencer. So we're going to talk about education. However, we also talk about AI. And then when we finish talking about AI, we're going to talk about what it is to make change. Maybe you have a business just like Jeff does, and he is revamping, making change. So when is the right time to make change? How do you make change, and what type of changes do you make? So stick around and listen to that, because there's a lot of good information. And again, you don't have to be an educator to really get the information that he's talking about. Other thing is, thank you very much for always being here and supporting this channel. It makes a difference on everything. So I appreciate that very much. The other thing before we get started is, if you are a pet owner, please be responsible and you have your pets spayed or neutered. All right, let's do this.
Right now we're in that strategy stage, right? There's a lot of school districts that are scared of it. Yeah. There's a lot of school districts that aren't quite understanding it. And there are school districts that are putting their heads down and they're running for it. And, but you know, that's no different than any other thing that comes up in education, right? So right now we're just kind of seeing where things are. I think it's an exciting time. I think the educators that are out there that are trying to push the envelope a little bit are doing a great job at promoting the fact that this isn't a bad thing. It's just something that we all need to better understand. So it was every newsletter, it seems like we get, has some kind of AI improvement to it. So it's an exciting time here.
Yeah, it most definitely is. And I remember just maybe even 2 years, well, not even 2 years ago, you know, the talk was really fear about kids are going to cheat, kids are going to do this. How are we going to stop it? How are we going to block it? But I'm really glad that we're seeing, like you said, that they are taking a look at it and saying, what can we and how can we use this to our advantage? The fact is that AI is out there. Even if we don't say if it's for education, the kids are using it. So educators better learn how to use it and how to control it the best they can within the classroom is what I think.
Absolutely. And, you know, I started playing around with it over the summertime when things started to blossom a little bit, and I've had an opportunity to really, you know, use it for some different things. I'm using it now on my podcast to generate summaries of show notes. That's been a game changer for me. I use it on the website right now to generate SEO descriptions. I use it for creating rubrics in the classroom. I'm using it to help me make my teaching life a little bit easier. So I'm starting to also dabble in it in class with my students as well. You know, when is a good time to bring up the topic and when is a bad time to bring up the topic? And there are AI sites that I've blocked for my kids. Mm-hmm. Because I don't want them using it as their tool. I want it to be used as a classroom tool.
Yeah. You know, that's the thing, too, is that you're using it. We're going to have to know how to use it because, again, the kids are using it, whether it be in the classroom or outside the classroom. But one of the things I think is kids need to be aware that it's not a cure-all, it's not a fix-all, and also parents, teachers need to understand it does not give the correct answer. You still need to learn how to either research or, you know, you need to double check those facts. So that goes out to kids out there that are using it to think they're going to take a shortcut. No, the answer could be wrong. You better know the facts.
I think it all just starts with defining what we're actually discussing, right? Because when I see teachers saying, oh, AI is this and AI is that, well, AI is also the software behind, you know, looking at a photo and taking out people from the background. AI is also the software that you can use to import a cartoon image, let's just say, and then you can manipulate the limbs on that hand-drawn cartoon image to make it look like it's moving as if it was an animation or something, right? So when I talk to school districts that say all AI is off the table, I'm sitting there going, well, ever use a chat feature? Right? Like, that's looking at it. And even on TeacherCast, I recently hit the rebuild button. And one of the first things that I put on the website is an artificial intelligence search box. So that way you can actually ask it a question and then look through the almost 1,000 posts and podcasts that I have to hopefully try to find the answer. So I love how artificial intelligence is being grouped into, you know, one category of things. Yeah. But really, it's all around you, right? I mean, You're going to come up with a time where you're going to go into a drive-thru and the menu's going to change based off of who the system thinks that you are, right? That's all artificial intelligence out there. So I don't think this is all bad. I don't think this is all good. I'll give you an example here. Recently, working in middle school, I was asking the students to build their own autobiographies. It's a great lesson. They're learning, you know, word processing, but I'm really using it to teach paragraph styles and paragraph headings and how to make an outline on Google Docs and things. But I wanted to show them an example of what I was asking of them. Mm. So I pulled up Google Bard at the time. It's now called Gemini. And I said, I need a bio of the Wright brothers. And in a couple seconds, it generated exactly what I was looking for. And I said to the kids, great, now you go do that for yourself. You know, you go, this is the format that I need. Now you need to go write your own. And again, it did that in 30 seconds rather than me having to spend 30 minutes researching, writing, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's the same idea that we've had for many years on many different projects. If you create a problem for a student that can be answered with a calculator, then they're going to use the calculator. Yeah. But if you give them a problem where the calculator is a tool to then figure out the right response, then you're teaching them an authentic real-world experience.
That's an excellent way of putting that. Yeah. I like for the fact, like you said, I as an educator, or, you know, I'm just going to use things in general. So if I want to create an outline for something and I just don't understand how or just don't know how, and if I have my ChatGPT or whatever it might be create an outline, I could take a look at it and go, oh, that is what it means, and that's how I'm going to do it. Okay, now I can write my own, or I could create my own. I, just like you, I enjoy using it and I use it a lot, but I use it as an example or a starting point to do something. Even when it comes down to illustrations and artwork, I've got this thought in my mind, but I don't know how to really put it on paper. And then I ask it, do the prompt, puts it out. It's like, that's what I want. And now I can start manipulating it. And or in some of my paintings, now I could begin to draw it out or paint it out. It's so useful.
The more you start learning about prompts, right? Yeah. You could write a prompt and then end the prompt with, and this is for a fourth grade audience, or, and this is for a college level audience. And it spits out two completely different things.
Yeah.
Showing people how the power of that works is in itself something that I hope will start to turn the balance. Like, right? Like, because again, if people don't realize that that's what it is, you're going to have a middle school kid giving a college essay in.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think one of the most important things on this too is we can't prevent the kids, and we shouldn't prevent the kids from understanding artificial intelligence or how to use it, because when they graduate from high school or when they go into a professional field, what do you think is going to be that job market, you know, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years down the road? We're going to be using it. They're going to be using it outside of school. So we need, I think, my personal feeling is step up and learn again how to use it and how to help the kids understand how to use it.
And even in our own fields. I mean, what did we just talk about before we hit the record button? Yeah. This software helps me edit quicker because of an AI feature, as opposed to this other software that doesn't have an AI feature. I now have to spend an hour making short videos. That right there is a consumer decision based off of artificial intelligence.
Yeah. So let's keep our artificial intelligence or AI topic going. But outside of the education and your personal thoughts, do you have any fear on AI? And I ask this because the first thing that pops up in, I think, a lot of people who have fear is Terminator. It's going to take over the world. It's going to hit that button and it's going to go kaboom.
I don't think I know enough about AI to have those fears. I always try to keep things open. And that's both the technician, you know, the educator in me, but also the dad of 10-year-olds, mm-hmm. right? I'm working with my kids on these features. I'm starting in graphic programs, showing them how you can circle something and then it goes away, and how you do this and then it happens. And, you know, so I'm starting to use that with them. There are programs that are out there right now that are using AI to create website designs. We're starting to use those. I think those are starting to become powerful. And anything that kind of gives you the leg up on that, I think, is easy. But as far as the generative stuff where it's actually building paragraphs and worksheets for you, look, I think it's all wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, to a point. I think it's wonderful. I haven't yet really put both feet in the water as far as, you know, write me the code that does this. And of course, what happens if both you and I put the same prompt in? Write me a code that creates a Chrome extension that does this. And then we both put that into the Chrome repository. Is that ours? Is that not ours? Can we both claim that we created this thing when really, wink, wink, we didn't? There's a lot of conversations, I think, to be had when it comes to all of that stuff. But, you know, where it's going right now, I'm excited. I think the next version of AI, and I know, again, I'm not the expert on this, is just making all those connections. But that's no different, right? Like when you and I first met many, many years ago, EdTech was in a silo. Here's my company, buy my company. Now, in the last couple of years, EdTech is here's my company and I integrate with Microsoft and I integrate with Google. So I'm looking forward to where the AI is, you know, here's the version of AI, but I can also then go into your SIS. So, you know, there's a lot of different things that we can do once these programs start to evolve a little bit.
Yeah. And now that we talk about that, that's the other thing too, is having too many companies develop their own AI. And how's that going to integrate into our mainframe of things? You know, we mentioned we've got the Microsoft out there. We've got Meta. We've got, Amazon. So many people are going to get into it. I guess if I had a fear of anything is how many different AI and how many different things am I going to have to learn? Because it's just like what we're into today in technology. Is I have one television, but I've got how many different remote controls or how many different tools to use to control, and then it's just like I'm confused now, and it was a good thing.
But if you play the game right, you have one AI to learn. Mm-hmm. You know, a car is always going to have the brake and the gas on the same side. A car is always going to have a round steering wheel, right? No matter what it looks like or how fast it goes. And that's kind of the hope. This is, you know, just looking down at my keyboard, this is how you do a copy and a paste. No matter what the application is, this is how it works. Now, plug the rest of the world into that, and we'll see how that goes. Wherever it takes us, I think is exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to seeing all those different spots. I mean, the fact that you can technically record a podcast episode with an artificial voice and now it sounds like some celebrity. It's fun. It's trivial, but it's fun. But that brings up more questions.
It does. You know, we hear the deep fake and things like that now. The genie is out of the bottle, so to speak. You know, it's just going to be it's who uses it and how they use it. But I think first of all, it's who is using it, who's controlling it. So all good stuff there. Now I want to find out a little bit more about, you know, your podcast. What's going on with that? Because you had quite the following. You took a little bit of a break and now you're coming back and you're redoing everything, and you know, what's happening?
TeacherCast this year is going to be 13 years old. And that's a sentence within itself, right? And last year I took on an administrator level position, and because it took up so much time, I just made a decision where I couldn't be both on the microphone and off the microphone at the same time. So job comes first. Yeah. Due to a number of situations, I decided that that's not the life that I was looking for that particular place. And took some time off, you know, mm-hmm. You realize how much you miss it. You realize the connections that you make. You do start getting a few of those emails that say, hey, you okay? Like, I haven't seen you in a while. Like, things are right. How's the kids? What's going on? But when the calendar turned over on January 1st, I kind of made a decision of, all right, this is the opportunity. Let's come back. I took a deep breath knowing that we were going to see each other at FETC. And I decided about a week and a half before FETC, why not just blow up the website and start over. So I'm going through right now a really interesting time. We're rebranding a lot of stuff. For 12 years, I used to call a show the Teacher Cast Podcast. It was my flagship show, all those statistics and analytics and stuff like that. We're actually rebranding that to being called Digital Learning Today. And so that's exciting. I started the numbers over, but kind of kept the same feed going. And I got a lot of great episodes that are going to be popping out of the show for that. Our Ask the Tech Coach show is doing really well. And I'm going to be starting up again, what's called the Jeff Bradbury Show, which is very similar here, Chuck. You know, interesting people doing interesting things, being able to get out there, meet people in education, outside of education. And I'm just having a good time redesigning and rebuilding it. You know, 12 years, I think the website's on version 7 or 8 mm-hmm. at this point. And, you know, new color scheme, new logo, new everything. And it's just been fun the last couple of weeks kind of get back into this thing and you know, figuring out who's out there, who you can meet and what you can do. And I'm really excited. And if you guys want to check out teachercast.net, it's there. And I'm adding to it every single night.
You know, to make it relevant to more of the people out there on for my listeners and viewers, can you give us a little bit of a thought about that rebranding? Because I know that there are so many people that go through exactly what you did, including myself, is when is the right time to rebrand? Why do I rebrand? And, you know, how do I go about it? Do I lose everybody? What? How does one do this? How and why, Jeff? Why?
So before the pandemic came out, I started to do a lot of educational productivity, right? I'm one of those guys that on YouTube, I follow the, you know, all those branding people, and they're talking about their Notion setups and their email marketing and all of that. And I started to take all that and kind of translate that for teachers, right? A lot of teachers are looking to do a side hustle and make a couple bucks, get into podcasting, web design. Like, they're all kind of in that space, but there's nobody really talking to them, yeah. right? And so I created the Jeff Show as a way to, for instance, bring on somebody who's a WordPress expert, but we're now talking to that third grade teacher or that fourth grade teacher. We're not talking WordPress expert to, I want to be a billionaire entrepreneur, you know. And so we brought on podcasters and we said, okay, your definition of a podcast is not my definition of a podcast. Your definition of a podcast is now creating audio and video in the classroom, mm-hmm. right? Go talk to that fifth and sixth grade teacher who wants to do morning announcements or something like that. And so that started this concept of building your EDU brand. So one of my domains that I kind of have a side hustle on is called buildyouredubrand.com. We talk about email marketing. We talk about website design. We talk about audio and video and podcasting and studio podcasting and how to pick the right, all of that stuff. But we do it at a teacher level. And when you're redesigning yourself, when you're redesigning your brand, it really comes down to three different questions. Number one, who are you talking to? What problem are you trying to solve? And then how are you going to solve that? And so for me, I'm talking to educators and I'm trying to help them solve this problem where maybe they live in the middle of the country. They're making 30 grand a year, busting their tails to do, like, you know, teaching. And they want to make a couple extra bucks doing a YouTube channel or by selling a product. So I'm looking at this kind of side of TeacherCast as how can I make the world that I love more containable to a teacher who might who doesn't know what a drip campaign is, doesn't know what email marketing is. How can I talk to them and help them create something for themselves so that way maybe they can support their families a little bit more?
So again, but with the rebranding itself, because you had a really good brand and now you're like I said, rebranding. Was there a specific reason? Was it because you took a step back and then now you're coming back and you're thinking, you know what? I need to wipe the slate clean, so to speak.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. There was a lot of the I'm bored.
Okay.
You know, I looked at this thing for the last couple of years. The way that it was before the pandemic hit, and I was with that particular hosting company for 6 years or so, and the reasons why I was with them are no longer the reasons that I would need to be with them now. So I just decided to make a left turn and move the website to a different platform. And then with that comes a new theme. With the new theme comes new growth. And then you're figuring out, okay, well, if I'm going to tackle A, B, and C, I got to get LMNOP as well. So that then, you know, if you're going to rebrand your website, you're going to rebrand your newsletter. If you're going to rebrand your newsletter, you're going to rebrand your all of those different things. And again, I kind of am in a little renaissance here. 13 years is a long time. And so coming up with a new logo, new custom scheme, you can still see it. It's still TeacherCast. It still has my claws all over it, but it's different and it's a little bit fresh. And you always have the question, and a lot of entrepreneurs, especially, you know, in the web space, have, is the business me? Am I the business, or is it me and the business? And where do you put your face on the website? Is it, you know, I started this thing in 2011. For the first 3 years, I never had my face on the page. And that was a biggie. For the first year, in fact, you might find this interesting. For the first year, in fact, every show that I did, I never said my name. And I actually realized that one day when I was at a conference, and somebody came up and they're like, I've heard your voice. I listened to you, but I didn't actually know who you were.
Yeah.
And so that's when I, you know, the light bulb clicked on, and now all of my shows ever since then is Welcome to TeacherCast. My name is Jeff. And you start to listen to what's being said to you, and you start to make adjustments to yourself and to your brand. And so everything right now is being designed purposely to help solve a problem, whether it be for a coach, for a school district, for an entrepreneur, for a podcaster, for whatever. But each of the little landing pages and stuff that I've made up, they're all similar in theme, but they're going to be completely different in the type of audience that I'm going after for that. And so, you know, I get bored a lot, and every time I get bored, TeacherCast just keeps expanding and stuff like that. So in one hand, I'll say this. I was given some really good advice once by a good friend, and he said, turn your octopus into a fish, which means instead of having all of these little arms and tentacles out there, streamline everything. And each time I reinvent TeacherCast, I always keep that in mind, and I try to do that. And how can I streamline something so that way there's one search box, there's one place to go. You can go onto any landing page, and you can solve whatever problems that you want. So it's fun.
Yeah, you know, there are a few things that you said that are really important, I think. And one of them definitely is, who's my audience? Who am I talking to? Because if you don't know, you may not succeed. Chances are less likely that you would. And then the other really big one, I think, is, you named three, but I think for two of them for me is who and what problem are you trying to solve? You know, that's a huge one, especially for your audience that you're talking to. The other thing, too, that you said is something that I went through, and I know many people out there who are entrepreneurs or who are starting, whether it be YouTube channels, podcasts, is the branding. Is it my face? What do I do? Because I think some people look at it as, oh, I'm going to get famous. I'm going to put my face on it. Well, that's the wrong thing, you know, because of the fact that your face is not known by very many people other than just your friends. So that in itself, it may not be the best idea. You are known because you go to these conferences. You are in that education field. So you are out there, so they know your face, they know your voice. So
it's different. Yeah. I'm not going to be one of those people that when you go to the website, there you are up on the front. I did that for the last 6 years, mm-hmm. right? Like, teachers don't react to that, right? Teachers are only there because they want to do something for their kids, right? So putting your face up on top, that's it, you know, and for all these professionals that I see out there on YouTube, education is just different, right? Yeah. You say the word, I'm an educational influencer, and my skin crawls. Like, yuck, right? Like, we're not here for that. We're here for a different reason. But I came across a video as I was starting to get back into this and research, and I learned about something called a founder's note. Do you know what a founder's note is?
No, please let me know.
If you look at the bottom of TeacherCast, it's a little line that says, hey, I was the guy that did this. Thanks. If you need anything, here I am. Right? So your face isn't on top. It's not here. I know I'm going to solve the world's problems. It's not that. It's just, but you are on the front page. That way people can put a name to the face. And hi, if you need anything, here's my contact information. Great to have you. Thanks. So in designing the site, I pushed all the information up top above the fold as best as I could. And then all the way at the bottom, I said, yep, I'm the guy.
That's perfect.
So I kind of merged that it's me, but it's really here for you.
Yeah.
And instead of saying contact me, I always like saying let's work together. And whether that be, you know, something like this, or you know, let me come to your school, or a presentation, or whatever it is, my whole thing has always been let's work together. And how can we do that? So, you know, there's a lot of tricks that I use in there. There's a lot of, I can't tell you how many times I've opened up two or three monitors and I've put every single SEO guru up on front. And then I just start picking apart 15 different websites and figuring out what I want. And then I'll pull up 15 different WordPress experts and I'll start pulling that up and I'll do 15 different podcasters. So really the website is a tribute to all those who have inspired me.
You know, with all that being said, I think what I like best out of what you just now said is you've put your information, your face, your, you know, come talk to me at the bottom. Here's what I'm, how should I put this? I'm here to help you, but here's my help up here. You're service oriented. If you're a service oriented person, you're not number one. You don't put yourself up there first. I look at it as it's about you, but I'm here to help.
You have to wrestle with that. Is this Teacher Cast with Jeff? Is this Jeff created Teacher Cast? Is this Jeff, the CEO of, there's so many different ways to do that. My background is all in music and I've got a master's degree in conducting. The thing about being a conductor is you're the only one on stage not making any sound. Yet you're the face on the ticket and you're the name behind the, you know, on the program. And that's a weird position to be in, right? Like you want to be the person, but then again, we're celebrating Mozart, yeah, right? Where somebody who's not in the room is really the reason why we're here. And what I hope is that when a teacher comes to my website, they're celebrating somebody who's not in the room. They're students, right? So they come to a concert to go and learn and appreciate Mozart or Beethoven or whoever. I want them to come to the website and listen to a conversation between you and I because they want to learn about a camera or they want to learn about a podcasting equipment so that way they can be better in their classrooms.
Well said. Now, I'm just going to add this. I just hope that everybody that's in my audience that's watching and listening just doesn't take this as, oh, they're just talking about teachers and educators. No, this really goes for all of you. Everybody out there who has an interest in being an entrepreneur, starting a business, or you're in the midst of change. So all the ideas that Jeff has provided us, I think, are fantastic. And it's making me think, what do I need to do? What do I want to do? And I'm just going to add one last thing to this. The hardest thing is how many times is too many times to change, you know?
There's never, right? Like, if you have a vision, you go get your vision. And I think that's important, right? Especially when you've been dealing with as long as some of us have, right? If you see something that you like, go. And because you're going to realize that as soon as you get there, something new has come along, right? When I took my previous position, AI did not really exist. Now it does. So even though I've had a routine for how to put together a show, how to book a show, how to schedule a show, that's now completely out the window because now you've got these extra tools that could just do it differently and faster. So again, I guess I said the word earlier, renaissance. It's just nice trying something different.
It is.
I'm excited. I'm motivated now.
I'm excited to see what you have in store for all of us out there. So thank you to you for inspiring me to look at how I do things. Can you give us one more time where people can find your information?
Sure. You can head on over to teachercast.net, like teachers and broadcasting, teachercast.net. Everything is there. We are currently in the process of putting up over 500 posts and about 800 podcasts. When you make the switch, you tear everything down and then you start to build it back up. So it was funny, you know, meeting you at FETC. I'm like, I have this new website that has 3 posts on it. And even now, you know, we're recording this in late February. I'm up to like 65 out of 800 or something like that. So, you know, every day I try to get 5 or 6 old ones up and you make the decision. Am I going to get rid of it? Am I going to update it? Or am I just going to put it up where the way it was and you know, backdate it? So everything is interesting. Everything is new. But please head on over to teachercast.net. You can check us out on all of our stuff, you know, teachercast.net/LinkedIn if you want to reach out professionally. And would love to work with everybody.
Great. Jeff, thank you very much for today.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, you're welcome.